You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest today is Todd Beauchamp. We're going to start with a track from his soon-to-be-released CD, Ghosts of Hollywood. This is called Starting Over. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Figures, 2 gallon heart in a 10 gallon town. If I'm honest and I look into the mirror, I can see how softly my walls are falling down. You make me wish that I was graceful and poetic. You make me want to hear the music and the stars. I hardly know you and it might make me pathetic, but I just wanna be everywhere that you are. I'm starting over. You're such a lovely girl. You melt my frozen world. And maybe you would like to see what's underneath the ice. I'm starting over.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Todd Beauchamp. How's it going, man?
It is going excellent. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm not unwell, thank you. I'm trying to recover from this never-ending illness that everybody has.
Right. Tell me about your illness.
Well, mental issues aside, I think it's just a cold. I don't know. It'll go away. So we're just listening to Ghosts of Hollywood. And tell me... Just real briefly, this is not available yet?
Not available yet. It's actually at the Replicators right now, so it'll be back in like 2 weeks.
I like that, the Replicators.
The Replicators.
And so you have a CD release party coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, That's the one thing that I want the Is Good listeners to walk away from today is please come to my CD release party.
I figured we'd go the whole hour without even mentioning it.
No, keep it a secret.
So that's at Room 5, which is becoming an increasingly hip little place to have CD release parties.
It's my favorite place to play. I'm there at least once a month. I mean, and then I'm actually there probably once a week with somebody that I'm playing with. And
as a venue, it's a great friend of, especially of acoustic artists, of people who, you know, are a little bit on the quieter end of things. You don't
Absolutely.
See a lot of hard rock acts there.
Yeah, I've been a singer songwriter all my life, but 2 years old writing songs about pooping my pants. It was awesome. But before this project, I was in a rock band for a lot of years, and you know, playing the Viper Room and running around doing all the rock stuff, and man, just playing my songs at the Room 5 for the last couple of years has just been an absolute joy. Like, I cannot thank them enough. And the funny part is I don't even know. I've never even met, like, the people who own it or anything. I just know all the promoters. And
but they know you,
play there
I'm
all
sure.
the time. I hope so. I don't know. Thanks, guys.
So I want to get into all of that, into your whole process, especially considering you started at 2. I'm sure we have a lot to talk about. I want to get into that in some more detail in a bit.
My sonata about Pampers is legendary.
Well, why don't we jump into a live song right off the top, and then we'll get into that story in a bit. What are you going to play for us?
The song is called I'm Not Sorry. It's about sticking it to the man, which I feel is fitting for
killradio.org.
Killradio.org.
Nice. You're listening to Is Good on Kill Radio. This is Todd Beauchamp.
It's in G if you've got a harmonica. Make my own mistakes. When I fall down, it's only my heart that breaks. I'm not afraid of failing. I'm not afraid to fall. After a while, it doesn't hurt to be the wrecking ball. You're always there to bring me down. I'm not sorry for learning how to stand my ground. I'm not sorry thinking love should have no bounds. Everybody knows get back as much as you send out. Let you down. I wanna fly with my own two wings. I wanna sail under my own steam. It's fight or fly, live or die by the dream, yeah. Know you got your rules, and I know they work for you. You'll never understand why I need to live by them too. You're always there to bring me down. Sorry, I let you down. I'll never understand why I was never good enough for your love. My heart pumps your blood right through my veins.
time, I'm guessing, and I'm learning all my lessons alone. I stand on my own in a hurricane.
This is the part where there's like the big badass drum solo, and then like the saxophone comes in and the strings, and like, and then there's like Nusret Fateh Ali Khan shows up, and he's all, and it's like the end of that Peter Gabriel song, In Your Eyes, and everybody goes crazy and the crowd goes wild, and then we come back and we do the last chorus.
I'm not sorry for learning how to stand my ground, and I'm not sorry for thinking love should have no bounds, and everybody knows you get back as much as you send out, so I'm not sorry. I let you down. I'm not sorry, I let you down. I'm not sorry, I let you down. I'm not sorry, I let you down.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Todd Beauchamp. Todd, one of the things that I think really sticks out about your music is that you sing and play with a sort of comfortability of a conversation. It seems that the songs just kind of come out of you. I mean, you can hear it in the CD. You could certainly hear it in that last live performance. And my guess is this probably comes from, you know, writing songs since you were 2 years old. So why don't we get to the heart of that. Growing up playing music, what was your actual first musical memory?
I think my first musical memory is going to see Crosby, Stills, Nash with my dad, and I was like 10. And the people in front of us, to this day, I've never seen a joint as large. I think it was like, I mean, granted, I was 10, but I remembered it was like the size of my head. And my dad was like, don't smell that. Don't smell that. But yeah, that concert was really cool. And that's always, I mean, I've always just been a huge fan of American pop music that matters. You know, I mean, I grew up listening to what my parents listened to, you know, like everybody. And in my case, it was Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, the Beach Boys, Carole King, like all that, just kind of like 60s pop.
And did you have a sense even at that young age that that was something you wanted to do?
Yeah. I mean, there's like, you know, 8mm movie footage of me putting on shows with a jump rope as a microphone on the fireplace. I mean, when I was just a tiny little kid, still in diapers. Yeah.
And when did you sort of discover the actual craft of songwriting, of actually, you know, taking pen to paper and writing lyrics?
Well, that would be, well, first, the first instrument I played was drums. I started playing music actually when I was in like middle school. That I wasn't actually two, but I first played drums, and this was New Jersey, and it was in the 80s.
So you were in a Bruce Springsteen cover band?
Close. I mean, at the time, it was really more like, a lot of Bon Jovi. Mm-hmm. Warrant was big then. There was a band called Trickster that was from New Jersey. What was it? What's 18 in Life? Who were those guys? Skid Row.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. They were a big influence on our pants, mostly. So I played drums for a long time. And then it was like 4 years I was doing that. And it just really bothered me that I wasn't participating in the writing of the songs of all the bands that I was in. And that was when I picked up guitar, strictly as a songwriting tool. I mean, it's always been about the writing for me. And like, you know, I love playing guitar and I love singing and I love doing all that stuff and sitting in with other bands and playing in different bands, and I love playing music, but the juice for me is really in the songwriting.
Mm-hmm. Did you teach yourself how to play guitar?
My friends taught me, like they taught me three chords, and then it was Bob Dylan. you know, and just from the very beginning of me playing music, it's always been like, okay, here's this chord. Okay, here's this great song that, that someone used it in, you know, and then I just started playing songs, playing Bob Dylan songs and Guns N' Roses songs and
Guns N' Roses
singing Bob Dylan songs.
What do you think it is about the art of songwriting that really drew you in? That's different from just writing poetry or writing a short story or something like that. What is it about the lyrical form, you think, that you felt you could really express yourself in?
I think the answer is probably in the question. Like, I think just for me, that's been the best way for me to express myself. And like, I love writing lyrics, but I couldn't write poetry because the words don't just say it. You know what I mean? Like, you could... is this on?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can write a song and the lyrics are like, I had a really good cup of coffee. And if this is the chord, I had a really good cup of coffee. Right?
Uh-huh.
Or you go, I had a really good cup of coffee. It's totally different. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so what the music is just totally changes what it is you're talking about. And I think for me, that's what I love, is using melody and chord structure and sort of intertwining that with the words. And sometimes they totally line up and sometimes they're at odds with each other. Sometimes they're kind of arguing. Sometimes they compromise.
Now, listening to the music that you're doing now, I certainly wouldn't describe it as 80s hair metal. why do you think it's... well, there's that, but... Why are you doing this kind of music? Like, why did you move on from what you were doing as a kid? And how did you sort of land here?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people have this experience of sort of winding up back where they started, where, like, you know, I grew up on a lot of 60s American popular music, you know.
Which this is much more in tune with.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, and then I went to junior high and I was all about Guns N' Roses. Yeah, and Metallica. And then, you know, and then I went to college and I went through a whole like Dave Matthews Band phase and I, you know, and then I got out of college and it just dawned on me that like my favorite music was the Beach Boys. But I fought that for so long because that was what my dad made me listen to when I was a kid, you know? And like, I think a lot of people do that where like their first, what gets them excited about music, they come back to, but I mean, it took me 25 years to get back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now this CD, is this your debut?
Yeah, I mean, I've been on a bunch of CDs and in a bunch of different bands, but this is my first CD that's me. And it's my first... I released some CDs that were me back on the East Coast before I moved out here, but they were just, like, EPs and, like, demos. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, like, the first real thing.
How does that feel? Is that a little nerve-wracking, sort of... You know, it's not just a name of a band, and you're not just the front man of the band. I mean, it's your name. It's a picture of your... You on it, you know, like
drinking,
taking all the responsibility for whether or not people like it. Do you like? I mean, is that liberating in a way?
It's scary and liberating at the same time. I've been in other projects where I was one quarter of the project, and what's incredibly frustrating about that is you have to reach consensus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one person.
Which we know at Kill Radio is incredibly frustrating.
Right. So that part is really frustrating. On the other hand, if everybody agrees on something, you have four people to help you out, which makes life easier. When it's just now that it's just me, I don't have to talk to committee about anything. Like, I, you know, somebody calls me up and says, hey, do you want to be on killradio.org today? I say, I got nothing to do. Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. I would love to do that. And I don't have to send emails out to other people and be like, hey, can we do this? Are you guys around?
But if someone has a difficult question about a particular song, you can't just sort of, you know, beckon behind you and say, ah, he wrote it. I don't know.
Right. That's true, too. I'm really proud of my music, though, so I'm not really. I mean, there's the record is about. I keep hitting the microphone. Ha ha ha. There are some darker themes on this record. It's I mean, I love Los Angeles. It's my favorite place that I've ever lived. But I think this city is also, you know, this city will break your heart. And that's why it's called Ghosts of Hollywood, is because a lot of the songs were written on nights when I was thinking about leaving.
Uh-huh.
When I was like, I don't know about this place.
There's something about L.A. that draws musicians.
Absolutely.
And it's definitely something, you know, difficult to articulate. But, I mean, I just know from doing this show for so long that there's musicians everywhere and people struggling with exactly what you're talking about. Sort of like, how did I end up here? What am I doing here? And should I stay? Should I not stay?
Yeah.
So you...
Well,
you,
just... And I mean, like, I... The best nights I've ever had have been in Los Angeles. I mean, you know, I've... The best gigs I've ever had. I've played music that just, you know... I've just as a fan, I've seen totally visionary stuff here, you know? And I could make a huge list, but it doesn't matter. But I've also... You know, there are nights that this city has just punched me in the gut as hard as it possibly could. and then I started writing about it, and I really liked where that was going. And this whole collection of songs is just all about my relationship with Los Angeles.
Would you say that in general, though, you're in that respect, that your writing tends to focus more on what's going on in your life at that time as opposed to something more abstract or
absolutely
a love story,
yeah,
or something?
I do. I write songs for other people too, and I write songs with other people, and that tends to be just, you know, an exercise in songwriting and in craft. When I'm writing for me though, it's not always inspired by like a specific event, but it's definitely inspired by what's going on in my life right now. That's why I'm having a really hard time writing. I was really miserable and I got like kicked out of my apartment and I was like couch surfing for a long time and wrote all these songs. And then now I've met this amazing woman and I'm totally in love and I can't write anymore.
You need the pain.
I know.
You need the pain to write
Andrea,
the lyrics.
Do something. Pick a really nasty fight with me today. I need to write that song.
I need a new song. Leave. Just come back. But why don't we play another track from the CD? Maybe you could introduce it.
Let's do Burn the Bottle.
Okay.
Yeah, that's this is a song about drinking, which is something that I do a lot. And
all right.
It's sort of a little bit about I don't know. Where's the line of addiction? Where do you draw it?
It's at the bottom of the bottle. You have to drink the bottle and then you can read it. Seriously, I've seen it. So this is a little sneak peek at Ghost of Hollywood, which comes out soon from Todd Beauchamp. Check it out. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. We'll come back and do some live stuff.
To another night lost to memory, I'm gonna drown it in this bottle of whiskey. And somewhere between awake and a dream, it wasn't God that blessed this child. I think back to all the places I've been, the faces I've seen, the money I spend, and those times I couldn't pay my rent, and I stumbled from couch to couch. Yeah, I did it all just to sing this tune, drink all night, howl at the moon, to live a dream is dying soon. But first, we set one last night on. We'll be right back. Though some would say I don't have much to show. Just a bartender friend most places I go. The more I learn, the less I know about how to live my life. So here's to another night in the company of friends. This bottle of whiskey, this bottle of gin. And here's to hoping tonight never ends. The dream lives on.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Todd Beauchamp. So clearly there's more than just you and a guitar on the album. Actually, that last song was very, very full sound. There were backup vocals and drums and everything. So tell me about that process. First, who's playing with you on the album? Then also the idea of sort of taking you, the individual, and then adding layers of other people to that.
That's another thing that's real different about like band versus individual. I recorded the whole record in Atlanta with my producer, Jimmy Bird, who I recommend to everyone. He's bad. He's bad mamma jamma. And what we were allowed to do, since I'm a solo artist, was with every song, we'd be like, all right, what's this song need? Does it need drums? Doesn't it need drums? Does it need? And he would just go through his Rolodex and be like, you know, and call people up. Also, I'm really honored to have a bunch of my, in addition to that, some of my friends sang on it. When I was in Atlanta, I played a show there, and I met Tara Naomi, who is all over, you know, she's a YouTube darling now, and I'm so happy for her. Most of the girl vocals on the whole record are her. She was like sitting, I was making the record and she was on tour, and she had like a day and a half to kill in Atlanta. And I was like, well, come over, sing some stuff. And then she ended up singing on like six songs.
It's funny how musicians will squeeze like every minute out of the day for music.
Well, being on the road, like having a day to kill on the road is the worst. Cause I mean, you know, when you've got to drive and then you got to be there and you eat the food and then you go play the show. Awesome. Right. But then every once in a while, there's like a day where you couldn't book a show and you're in a town that you don't live in.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
probably, and all you can do is think about your last show and your next show.
Yeah. Probably sleeping on somebody's floor with absolutely nothing to do for an entire 24 hours. It's terrible. So I was really honored that she came and sang on it. And then my friend Leland Grant's on it, too. Vinx, like Cher or Sting, who he's played with. One Name. He is incredible, and he lives down in like southern Georgia, McRae, And it's like 2 hours south of Atlanta. And me and Jimmy drove down there. He put us up for the whole weekend in his house. And we had Memorial Day there. He's awesome, awesome dude. And I mean, and then there's a whole there's probably like 25 people who played, because sometimes people would come in and they just play like mandolin on one song, you know, and they were all friends of mine and friends of Jimmy's.
Do you think the album has, at least in some of the songs, sort of a Southern vibe to it?
That was
inescapable just because of where you were?
Well, I think a lot of that's Jimmy too. I mean, like, he definitely pulled, like, I didn't hear any of the country in my music. Like, to me, it sounded like Carole King.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went, he was like putting pedal steel on stuff and dobro, which makes perfect sense when I hear it back, but it never would have occurred to me to do. So I think he definitely pulled the like, some people listen to this record and they call it alt country. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's totally Jimmy. Yeah. And I love it. I think it's awesome.
Cool. Yeah. Let's jump into another live song.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Let's do The Other Sister. This is a song about not fitting in.
My guess is Todd Beauchamp.
Okay, sorry, cutting you off there. Cause she danced whenever the mood was right. She didn't need to hear any music. She just needed the moon on a warm summer night. She's laughing at the shadows, dancing on the water. They tried to change her, but she didn't wanna. They said she laughed just a little too loudly at a joke nobody else could hear. Said it's not that we don't love our daughter, it's just that we don't love her here. She's laughing at the shadows, dancing on the water. They tried to change her, but she didn't want. She's standing underneath an umbrella, in her hand she softly holds a rose. She's still standing in a shadow. Maybe she's better off being alone. She's laughing at the shadows, dancing on the water. They tried to change her, but she didn't wanna. Laughing at the shadows, dancing on the water. They tried to change her, but she didn't wanna. Oh, na na na.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Todd Beauchamp. So, do you listen to the radio, like, generally, and hear music that you like?
No.
So, I feel the same way. And the reason I bring this up is I was just wondering, what are some things that you think you are consciously trying to do and consciously avoiding doing, and how that relates to music that is inexplicably successful right now?
What I'm trying to do with my music is make music that inspires me, period. And I hope that it inspires other people, you know, I hope. And there's evidence to support that, you know, like I go to places where, you know, I played a gig in New York, actually, and I played that song, and a girl walked up to me afterwards and was just like, dude, I cried.
So at this stage, you're not focusing on what can I do to get a label, or what can I do to get played on the radio?
You know, I actually, this record almost came out under a label, but the negotiations fell apart. Yeah. So,
Well, like, what do you think are some of the things that you do hear on the radio and you go, you know what, I got to make sure that I don't ever write a song like that?
Well, mostly when I'm flipping through the radio dial, what I get out of it is that nobody cares. That's what I feel like. I feel like people are writing that song and singing that song because a computer program told them that's what was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to a lot of new music. It's all unsigned artists. It's all my friends that I love a lot of music that's being made. What I'm not loving is a lot of music that's being played on the radio. So I don't know. I mean, I just try to mean it. You know, and I try to play, and I play with people who mean it. And I guess that's what's funny is, I mean, now I've been around enough where I have friends that have been signed to major labels, and honestly, more acquaintances than friends. But you know, I've had conversations with people, and most of the people I know really don't like their record.
They're just not happy with
the things they
had to do in order for it to come out.
They feel like it's kind of watered down. You know, like mm-hmm. they did something incredible, and labels were like, whoa, we need that, and then signed them up, and then we're like, okay, now we need to water down what was awesome.
So that it appeals to the broadest.
So that it appeals to more people, and then, you know, and then the artists are kind of like, that kind of blows. On the other hand, I'm going to go buy a house.
Well, at the same time, you know, there are things that the realities of the music business that you have to confront. You do need to get people to come see you at these shows.
Oh, absolutely.
What are some of the things that you do to promote yourself? I mean, since you don't have the whole band working for you and it's really all on you.
Right. A lot of what we've been doing is building a community, which I think has been a totally subconscious thing. We weren't doing it on purpose, but me, my friend Leland Grant, Dave Yaden, there's definitely a community of artists who are also competent enough musicians to all help each other out. Mm-hmm. None of us have bands. We all just back each other up for all of our shows. So, you know, when Leland plays, I'm his lead guitar player, and then I sing a bunch of harmonies. And then when I play, he's my guitar player, and he sings a bunch of harmonies. Yaden's been coming out lately. He is a bad, bad piano player. I mean bad in the nicest way. He is, oh, my God.
Bad as a compliment.
Yeah.
As in badass.
Yes. Ooh, he's bad. Shame on. Yeah, and I mean just, you know, and there's – Amelia, I've been playing guitar for Amelia Spicer, and she's been coming out. I'm producing my first artist, Michael Levinson, who will write the darkest, most hysterically depressing lyrics you've ever heard.
Nice.
And so Amelia came and sang on his record. He sits in and plays piano with me sometimes. We're all gonna go be his band one night. And so, I mean, even though none of us have bands, I can't remember the last time any one of us played a gig and there was only one person on stage. You know, it's
so you support each other's music, and absolutely. There's always someone in the audience that you can,
yeah,
can trust.
There's always, you know, hey, you know all the harmonies of this song, jump on up here.
Let's play another track from the CD, and then I want to talk to you about live performance and connecting with your audience.
Absolutely.
Shall we play?
Do the title track.
All right. Ghosts of Hollywood it is. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Todd Beauchamp. Stick around.
Tell my heart from a stone, cut down right to the bone, and I can't stop the bleeding. I need to find a new scene. I need to wake from this dream. I'm tired, but I'm not sleeping. And the truth falls away like leaves fall away like sun falls away into the night.
Listening is good on killradio.org. We are previewing an advanced copy of Todd Beauchamp's Ghosts of Hollywood. That was the title track.
That's the title track.
Now, I want to talk to you about performing live. What was sort of the, if you can remember it, the first time you got up on a stage to perform, not as part of a band, but, you know, this is me, this is Todd, with all eyes on you.
I think it was a high school talent show. Yeah. And now that I remember back on it, it's really funny. Only if you know me, though. because I had signed up to do like 8 days a week by the Beatles, and that was like what I had auditioned with.
Uh-huh.
And then I just didn't feel like playing it. And I got up and I just said, like, hey, I auditioned with a song, but I'm not in the mood. I'm going to do this song instead. And I did a completely different song. And then I got yelled at for like an hour and a half.
For not doing what was on the schedule?
Yeah, because it's, you know, in the notes it had said, Todd's going to do this song. And, yeah.
Well, what about as a professional in Los Angeles?
Well, when I moved, I've been in LA. Well, I was born here, but I didn't grow up here. I've been back for a little over 5 years. And when I first moved back, I moved back to do the solo thing. And not knowing anyone, I was playing open mics. I had like a little bit of money, so I didn't have to work for. And I lived. I found the cheapest. I'm going to tell people about this apartment. You ready for Los Angeles? I had an apartment north of Sherman Way on Woodman, utilities included, for $625 a month.
Wow.
Yeah, it was cool. And it was much smaller than this room. It was about the size of like a table. I was playing open mic nights like six nights a week and really just meeting people that played around town all the time. And I got to know a bunch of people. And it was really unfortunate, actually, just for me, because what happened was people, like club owners, liked me. And they'd offer me gigs just from playing their open mic nights. But I didn't. I had just moved here.
So you didn't have the draw.
Anybody. Yeah. So I'd go and I'd play these shows that were like nice shows. Like I had a show at Highland Grounds and two people came. And mm-hmm. I just felt like a total idiot. So I ended up putting my stuff down and just playing guitar in a bunch of bands for a long time. And then I picked my stuff. Now that I have friends, I feel comfortable.
How do you know when you're connecting with your audience? I mean, this is listening music, so you can't tell. It's not like if people are dancing, then you know it's working,
right?
You know, how do you gauge the audience?
What I try to do is I try to have one moment in every show that will never ever happen again. I try to make every show unique. I play a lot. Like, I'm not a big fan of the fourth wall. I'm not a big fan of I am up on stage and you are out in the audience and you will look at me. The way I like to think of it is we're all here in this room. We're all making this music together. And this particular group of people will never be in the same room again.
Right.
You know, that group.
And they'll never hear the song exactly the way they're about to hear it.
No, it'll be different every time. And, you know, maybe it's a joke or maybe it's a line or maybe it's.
Pyrotechnics.
Sure. You know, we might light Leland on fire. And, you know, we might not put him out. or someone gets up on stage and, you know, and does a song. Or, yeah, like someone comes in out of the, you know, if I know people in the audience and they're good, I'll call them up on stage. And if I know people in the audience and they're bad, I'll definitely call them up on stage.
And you mentioned you've had people come up to you afterwards to tell you what your music meant to them and how it affected them. Do you get that sort of thing a lot?
I mean, I get it enough. I mean, I think that's like the highest.
Is that very motivating for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think music is kind of my like my psychotherapy. You know, like I would do it regardless. But the fact that I get invited out to play nice rooms and people tell me they really like the show, I mean, that's just gravy. Like, awesome.
Well, let's do another live song.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Let's do Emily. Dude, that car horn was almost in tune with me. What you said, you don't really love me anymore. You don't need to hold the door, 'cause I'm leaving. You won't see me cry. I'm not gonna do it here. Shed a tear alone, 'cause nothing hurts like changing. But Emily wants just what Emily wants, and it doesn't make it right. Emily wants just what Emily wants, and she
wanna move on. I keep on walking the same path, moving slow or fast, it's all the same circle. And Emily's there, she whispers my name again, and this might end the same again, but I love her. Emily wants just what Emily wants, and it doesn't make it right. Emily wants just what Emily wants, and she'll get it all tonight. She'll get it all
Do you think your style of singing has changed over the years in terms of like vocalization and you know, have you had formal vocal training or is it something you're constantly working on?
Actually, just last night I had my iTunes on random and a song from college came on that I was singing in. So embarrassing. And I honestly don't know if like that trend will continue. Like I might listen back to this in 10 years and be like, God, I was so bad then. So good now. I don't know. Or the other way.
Do you think it's just practice in front of an audience and you just sort of, you know, internally figured out what works and what doesn't?
You know, there's actually a guy who was a singer in my band in high school, went on to get his master's in vocal performance. And what he told me was that it's physical. He said that you don't actually grow into your voice until your late 20s, that even though your body stops growing, like your vocal cords are changing until you're about 30 years old.
Oh, really?
That's what he said. I don't know. I know that I definitely have like a lot more, there's a lot more power in my voice now. Like there's more like low end resonance.
Do you find you don't have to struggle as much to get some of the harder notes out, that it comes just a little more,
yeah,
a little easier?
And it's like weird. It's like I'm not like sometimes it just does like it does things that I think sound really cool now and it didn't used to. Like I used to just sound like a little prepubescent kid when I sang, but now it does, like it cracks sometimes and like I'm not making it crack on purpose. It just does that. And then I go, and then sometimes I feel like it makes me look like an idiot, but then sometimes it cracks in this really cool way that I want people to think I did it on purpose.
Yeah, like, sometimes that happens in music, and it's just like, wow, at that moment, because it's sort of like that sign that they're singing so passionately that even their own voice couldn't keep up with it, you know? It's
right.
I like that. As long as it doesn't sound like it's done on purpose, yeah.
Right. Well, I'm certainly not trying.
Do you have other shows coming up besides this one on April 11th at Room 5?
You know, I do, but I don't know when any of them are.
Check out your MySpace page.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? April 11th is, I've got some shows between now and then where I'm playing guitar with other people, and singing, and we might do like a tune or mine, but really I just want everybody to come April 11th, come April 11th, come April 11th, come April 11th, come April 11th. You know, take a break from doing your taxes, come on down, $10 at the door, and I'll give you a copy of my CD. You know, you buy your ticket to the show, get a free CD. Napster it, burn it, give copies to all your friends.
Where will the CD be available aside from the CD release party at Room 5?
I'm going to sell it out of my trunk. I'm going to get it. I'm going to put it at Amoeba. It'll definitely be on CD Baby and Amazon. Mostly it'll just be online. Because anybody that lives in Los Angeles can just come to my show and buy one. So it seems kind of silly to put it in a bunch of record stores, but I'm also not a business guy. I don't know.
Well, that's sort of my next question is, like, what do you do after the CD release party? What do you do to continue to push the sale of the CD? Is it just gigging a lot, or are there other things you can do?
I mean, I do a lot of different music stuff, and it all kind of feeds.
We don't even have the window open. I don't know if the audience can hear that. We have much better mics now, so I'm not sure if the siren was just picked up. It just went by the window.
That's cool. Well, let you know you're in a real city. Yeah. I like that. It sounds like that's. I really like the studio because it's on a really busy intersection.
Yeah.
And like, you know, a lot of times Los Angeles doesn't feel like a big urban metropolis.
Right.
Like, but here it does. You know, it's like real city stuff.
We enjoy it.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm planning. I'm going on. I'm doing a tour with Yaden in August. The whole last 2 weeks, we're going to go to we're going to do an East Coast tour. So that'll be cool. Bunch of shows. And then, you know, I'm always writing songs with other people and playing guitar with other people. And I mean, that's like the coolest part is like the community, because people, you know, I'll go do a Leland show and he brings a totally different audience than I do. And we, you know, we'll do a couple of my tunes and then people always add me to their MySpace. And go, oh, you know, like. Yeah.
Now, are you constantly writing new material for yourself?
I'm trying to.
I mean, like this album. Are you already working on a second album? You're writing new songs for it.
You know what happened with this album was I had a lot of nuggets. I had like choruses of songs that weren't totally written that sat around for a long time, and then I had this. Like I said, I got kicked out of my apartment, and I had nothing else better to do but sit in a room and play guitar. Or, you know, and by room, I mean
sit in someone else's room,
my car. and I have a lot of nuggets right now. And I like a couple songs, but not too many. It's just been doing it myself, putting the record out myself has taken up so much more time than I thought it would that I mean, it kind of sounds ridiculous to say, but I don't have a lot of time to write right now because I'm like, sending all these emails and making sure the art is getting where it needs to go and setting up the show. All my friends are playing the show, so I got to make sure that all their stuff is ready. Mm-hmm. And like, my whole being right now is set on that date and making sure that show is like the show of shows.
Let's do another live song.
Sure.
What do you want to play?
Let's do this one. It's a quiet one.
What's it called?
It's called Hidden Heart. Every time I try to let you go, secrets slip, only shadows know. I hate my hidden heart, growing cold as stone and sinking down to the riverbed below. In a kingdom of liars, she's my queen. Says just pretend you don't need to love me until the curtain falls, and the house brings up the lights. If you're Romeo, I'll be a Juliet tonight. Every
a kingdom falls, so will these walls I build around my heart. All that I can see is every memory that just keeps tearing me apart, apart. In my dreams, I know just what to say. In the waking world, moments fade away. I hold on to my breath, and I speak with shallow tongue, and deliver my lines until the play is done.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Todd Beauchamp. Todd, we're pretty much out of time, but I still want to do some more because I can, because it's my show. do you want to do another live song, or do you want to play another track from the CD?
Let's play some more off the CD.
Okay.
Let's do... Where's my list?
There you go.
Can we do covers?
Do whatever you like.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Play Be My Baby.
All right.
This is a great example of music I loved.
All right, we're going to play this track, and when we come back, we'll remind everyone once again about your big CD release party coming up at Room 5, April 11th.
April 11th.
Like we just now did.
April 11th.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
April 11th.
Be my little baby,
my more than only.
must wait and see. For every kiss you give me, I'll give you three. From the day I saw you, I have been waiting for you. You know I will adore you until eternity. So won't you please
be my
little baby?
Be my little baby.
Be my little darling.
Be my
baby now. Baby now. So won't you please?
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Todd Beauchamp. We're just about out of time, but I want to get one more live song out of you before we go. Just real quick, though, why did you choose that song to cover?
It was actually my producer. We were sitting around one night. I was going to be a big surprise, but we were drinking. And I was just playing a bunch of, I know, just a million covers. And I was playing, and I played that, and my producer was like, dude, we're recording that tomorrow. And I said, okay, I'm good like that.
Awesome.
I listen to what the producer says.
And is it easy to get rights to songs like that and just put them on your album?
I had no idea about that until every other thing I've ever done before has been all stuff that I've written.
Mm-hmm.
You go to harryfoxagency.com and you pay up front. It was like $100 for like this first run of CDs is going to be 1,000 CDs. It was like $100. And then for every, up to $2,500, you can just pay him some money and then you're allowed to do it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. What are you going to play for us now?
This is called One Small Mistake. One small mistake, two hearts I hate to break, three words couldn't say, take me back, take me back. Thank you. nothing broken mends. Every road comes to an end. I don't know what to say. Take me back. Some broken sidewalks, sipping whiskey and counting Jayhawks in the sky. Moving fast, but I'm running backwards. Time will tell if I end up in your arms tonight. Hearts I hate to break. Three words couldn't say. Take me back. Take me back. Darling, take me back. Oh yeah, take me back. Take me back. Come on now.
So do you have anything like a CD release party or anything planned?
You know what? I do, actually.
Yeah? That's good. It's probably a good idea.
Yeah. I'm having a CD release party on the 11th of next month, which is April, right before tax day. So remember, tax starts with T. Todd starts with T. Do your taxes. Do your Todd Beauchamp CD release party.
Sounds like a plan. So that's at Room 5, and people can get... more information on you by going to myspace.com/Todd Beauchamp.
Yeah.
Right?
And I please come out. A ton of my friends are going to be there. They gave us the whole night. So everybody's doing like half hour sets. A lot of people are on the CD. Mostly they're just my friends. It's going to be awesome. Yaden's going to be there from The Wait, Dave Yaden. Mary Arden Collins, who's a great artist. I actually moved out here with her separately. I was her guitar player back east. It's going to be my first show that I've ever played with her. We've both lived out here for 5 years.
Cool.
And we've never played a show together. Michael Levinson, the artist I'm producing. Amelia Spicer and Mitchell Schaefer. Mitchell is awesome. We're all going to be playing together all night. Please come. $10 and you get a CD. All
right. Sounds like a great show. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Todd, thanks so much for coming in,
man.
Hey,
thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun.